Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A major accomplishment for women's soccer. We'll run down all the details. Meanwhile, workers' rights at a factory in Mexico now under a microscope. And today on the show, it's the latest from the American Legion and the Alliance for Retired Americans. Welcome to the Friday, May 20th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And don't forget to check out our revamped website. That would be awfpodcasts.com. So if you miss a show, just go there. We've got shows archived for many, many years there. And just to let you know, AWF Radio still works. That'll continue for quite some time. Lots of good information, contact information. You want to suggest a guest, just go to awfpodcasts.com. Jeff Stouffer is going to be our first guest on the show today. Longtime contributor to America's Workforce. He handles media and communications on behalf of the American Legion. For complete updates, legion.org. We'll delve into the June edition, which just arrived in my mailbox yesterday. Cover story is driven. Legion race team tackles veteran suicide prevention. This is pretty cool. The American Legion has a racing team, and they're going to go around the country talking about the fact that on any given day, this is so sad too, anywhere between 18 and 22 vets commit suicide. Now, the Legion, the VA, many veterans organizations, VFW posts have done so much to try to bring that number down, but it's pretty much constant right now. So Jeff will deal with that issue. VA home loans, another story. This was authored by Ken Olson. As many as 80% of former service members trying to purchase homes using VA financing are turned away by sellers. That's right. We'll find out why when we talk to Jeff. And apparently a lot of vets are missing out on home purchases because of many misconceptions. We'll talk about Taiwan. To keep Beijing away, the United States needs to be clear about its commitment to Taiwan. And this could be the next Ukraine, when you think about it. The United States is pretty much behind the Ukrainian people here in that fight with Russia. China is flexing its muscle. They want to invade Taiwan. Alan Dowd did this this piece, and we'll get into that as well. And it's, if we have time, this is a heck of a story. It's titled Ringside Hell. We'll be in the arena. And it's about the founder of the American Legion, which is Teddy Roosevelt Jr. And apparently, in World War II, this is right around D-Day, he was a brigadier general. That's right, a brigadier general. And he was preparing for the Allied invasion on June 6, 1944. And being a general, usually they're not on the front lines, okay? They're in the back. They're calling the shots. Not Teddy Roosevelt Jr. He said, hey, I'm right there with you guys. You don't see that kind of thing today. Not at all. So hopefully we'll have time to get into that. Rich Fiesta will be joining us later in the show on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans, retiredamericans.org. We're going to talk about a new ad campaign, which was recently launched, focused on Senator Rick Scott's plan to sunset Social Security and Medicare after 5 years. I still can't believe that he has come up with that, considering the state of Florida, which is loaded with retirees collecting Social Security and Medicare. But the plan is, and this is his idea, to reevaluate every government program that costs money. So every 5 years, he'll say, well, do we need Social Security? Well, maybe we should change this, pare it down, cut benefits, cut down Medicare. I mean, there's all kind of possibilities here. And Scott is the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which recruits and supports Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate. So obviously he's going to recruit candidates that think like him, right? Another issue is inflation. What's that going to do to Social Security? May is Older Americans Month. And what does that mean? Well, apparently President Biden noted that the American Rescue Plan, which was passed into law in 2021, invested $1.4 billion to provide older adults with services for nutrition, health promotion, disease prevention, caregiver support, long-term care. These are things you probably don't know about because they just show up. And lastly, this is posted on the Alliance's website, Scammers. The Alliance has received reports of someone using their logo maliciously in order to obtain people's personal data and banking information. The scammer claims to be helping the recipient get lottery and or publisher's clearinghouse winnings they are supposedly owed, but actually has criminal intentions. And that contact may come by phone. Yeah, so you get a phone call. Hey, you just won the lottery. You just won Publishers Clearinghouse. We'll help you get the money. And elderly are always scammed. They're the most vulnerable. That's posted right on retiredamericans.org. The United States Soccer Federation has agreed to new landmark collective bargaining agreements with the unions representing the men's and women's national soccer teams. This is huge. It really is. The CBAs, which will run through the end of 2028, end a very contentious period of dispute with the women's team, which had argued in a very well-publicized lawsuit that they were deprived of equal pay in comparison to their male peers. Well, let's go back to 2016, a little history here. Handful of the top women's team players filed a wage discrimination complaint with the EEOC, launching what would become a six-year-long legal fight, during which the women fired their union chief and reorganized their players' association. The team then wins a World Cup. And then the president of the soccer federation, Carlos Cudero, resigned after lawyers for the federation argued in a court filing that players on the men's team were scientifically superior to the women. I mean, there are a lot of things going on here. Then, fast forward to February of this year, the players reached a $24 million settlement with the federation, recouping more than a third of the $66.7 million the team was seeking in back pay. I remember talking about that. That's a chunk of dough. Importantly, U.S. Soccer also committed to providing an equal rate of pay going forward for the men's and women's national teams. But then there's another issue. Prize money. The prize pool for the men's tournament greatly exceeds that for the women. And I mean a lot, $400 million compared to $60 million for the men, for the females, that is. $400 for the men, $60 million for the females. And then they had some dispute over how that should be divvied up. Well, after the new CBAs were ratified this week, that's no longer the case. The U.S. soccer team will pool the unequal payments it receives and split the money equally among members of both teams. Pretty significant. Groundbreaking. U.S. Soccer President Cindy Pallocone said, quote, "No other country has ever done this. None." The agreements also equalize other terms of pay, providing for identical performance-based bonuses for games and competitions and identical commercial and ticket revenue sharing. Players on both teams will receive $18,000 for games won in most matches and as much as $24,000 for wins at certain tournaments. making U.S. soccer members some of the highest paid national team players in the world. Is that amazing? What a story. What a story. Like I said, it didn't happen overnight. It took years, and obviously the union helped out. But they got one heck of a collective bargaining agreement there. United States Trade Representative Catherine Tai announced this week that the U.S. will be asking Mexico to review whether management at the Panasonic Automotive Systems plant in Mexico are violating workers' rights. The plant is accused of denying their workers the right to the freedom of association and collective bargaining. By the way, this is the third time this year that the U.S. has made such a request to Mexico under various bilateral trade agreements known as the Rapid Response Labor Mechanism. Trade Rep Tai stated, "When concerns rise, we will work swiftly to stand up for workers on both sides of the border." Along with Secretary Marty Walsh and his team at the Department of Labor, we have worked closely with the Mexican government to address Rapid Response Labor Mechanism matters quickly, and I look forward to doing the same on this issue as well. We talked about that on the show some weeks back with the Steelworkers Rapid Response. That's a great program that they started some years ago. I have a comment from Marty Walsh on this. He said the U.S. Department of Labor is focused on the vital work of assuring compliance with the labor obligations in our trade agreements, including the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. This is often referred to as NAFTA 2.0. Marty went on to say, "We must guarantee workers a worker's right to organize and unionize freely and to collectively bargain. We intend to continue our close working relationship with the government of Mexico to resolve this matter." I'm sure they will. They got a great team of people down there. All right, quick break. When we come back, Jeff Stoffer on behalf of the American Legion.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana right now. And joining us on our live line is Mr. Jeffrey Stouffer on behalf of the American Legion. He is the Media and Communications Division Director for the Legion, legion.org, for complete updates. And we're going to run down the June edition, which should be in the mail shortly. I got my copy yesterday. But I want to talk about something that we discussed last month, and I have to thank the Legion and the listeners to this show because, again, I love using this line, we move the needle in the right direction. And we were talking, you may recall, with Jeff about burn pits, and a lot of vets got sick. And the national commander, Paul Dillard, engaged in a campaign, and Jeff was part of this, to pass some legislation, a comprehensive bill, to provide care for those vets who got sick, and there are many. And we're making some progress. I like that. Jeff Stouffer, congratulations on that. Can you fill us in on where we are with this?
Well, the big breakthrough in the last few days is that the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee leadership, the Democrat John Tester and the ranking member Jerry Moran from Kansas, Republican, have come to an agreement on a bipartisan, you know, bill finally that really brings in all of the conditions that we in the Legion and the veterans community have identified as having been, you know, caused by exposure to toxic contaminants while in the service. And so this is going to provide health care and benefits for up to 3.5 million veterans. And it's for instance, you know, the big issue that we've had is that veterans exposed to burn pit contamination while in Iraq and Afghanistan are the ones that are kind of at the center of this. But it also goes back to a lot of veterans who were exposed to atomic radiation in the 70s at cleanup sites. And it addresses Agent Orange exposed veterans whose conditions have been proven were caused by Agent Orange exposure, but their conditions were not listed as those that can be eligible for VA benefits or health care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is a breakthrough, and it's right. It's what's right. And again, we're not out of the woods yet because the Senate will need to vote on it. But the fact that the ranking member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and the committee chairman, John Tester, have sat down and put veterans ahead of partisan politics is a huge benefit to all those veterans who are suffering from these conditions. And it's a real testament. We put out a surround sound messaging campaign about this in, I guess it was maybe mid-April, where we really began to beat the drum, say, get in touch with your senators, particularly your senators, to fight to get this passed, because these guys were just as exposed as you know, we've gone through the various, you know, restrictions on Agent Orange exposure, like Blue Water Navy versus did I get exposed in an airplane, did I get exposed, you know, manufacturing and shipping it from a base or something. Wherever you are exposed, if you're in the military, whether you're exposed in the jungle or whether you're exposed at the warehouse, you're still exposed and you still got sick. It's kind of like it's unfair to those who were exposed in other areas. And then for those who were exposed, you know, with the toxic former Soviet airbase, the K2 airbase that got sick. These people, you know, there's people that are sick. There are people that are dying from these exposures, and no recognition, accountability from the government. So this is something that we have fought tooth and nail, you know, really dating back to the early 80s, especially with Agent Orange. But the concept that we have veterans who were exposed to contamination while in the service, while serving their country under the employment of the U.S. military, and they have you know, they deserve to be given the treatment and the care and the benefits that they deserve from this, because they become disabled by it.
Sure. Oh, I remember the Agent Orange fight. That took years. Yeah. But you got to stay focused. Obviously, your national commander, I remember reading about the fact that he was going to various states. I see Georgia, Alaska, South Dakota, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois. And that you wanted to get this wrapped up before Memorial Day. So, hey, hats off. Hats off. I mean, there's still work to do. But mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Well,
I so salute
far.
You on that one. So far. Yeah, so far. I know.
We'll need a vote yet. So
We're very close, though. We're very close. You got their attention. It's going to happen. I feel good about it. All right, Jeff, let's switch gears here and talk about a subject you and I have addressed for many, many times, and that's veteran suicide, which I'm sure is probably linked to a lot of this burn pit exposure as well. Do we have new data on that? I remember it was somewhere around 20 suicides a day. Is that still a constant in America?
Well, the issue is this: is the last numbers that the VA has provided was something like 17.6 per day, but those were 20. The last numbers that we have, I think, are from 2019, which doesn't even calculate in all of the time of COVID, which was, as I think we've seen in the media, a high period of suicidality during that window of time. And it's been as high as 22 a day. We do that in over the last, 20 years. But really, ultimately, the American Legion's campaign is not, and also sometimes those numbers get a little bit skewed because of an active duty. We've been hearing about, in the Navy where they're having to wait, 30 days. They have a suicidality issue and they're having to wait 30 days to get an appointment. That's not, mm-hmm. that's not effective. And, in today's environment, we believe that any suicide of a military veteran in service or after service, that is related to service is a tragedy. And so our mission is to call it one, be the one. We're going to try everybody has a responsibility to try to prevent this number from growing. And we honestly, when we talk about the numbers are hard to pin down, and they are, like I said, the whole period of COVID, we don't have any data. There is no data that I've seen during that window of time. So, but the concept of be the one, which we unveiled in last month earlier this month at the Indianapolis 500, because we're running the IndyCar race. Our team, our American Legion team, is running under the banner be the one. To be the one person who can prevent one suicide, save somebody's life. And we believe mm-hmm. in the American Legion very firmly that one of the real important ways to get to that is peer-to-peer, veteran to veteran. A veteran knows what a veteran's going through. And we can do a lot to remove the stigma of, mental health struggle and say, hey, look, it's okay. We understand PTSD. We understand TBI. We understand economic despair, whatever you may be going through, or even post-COVID despair, there's a lot of things that can be going on, but a veteran to a veteran is really the most effective approach or the best approach for the American Legion to take to, reduce the suicide rate among veterans. And that is our message, and we're going to be trumpeting that for time to come, and a big opportunity. Once again, a second year in a row that we've had a sponsored car in the Indianapolis 500, and that is the message our drivers are carrying.
That's awesome. And that'll be right around the Memorial Day weekend. Is it like the Saturday or Sunday before Memorial Day, something like that?
Yes. Yeah. It's the Sunday Memorial Day weekend, and it'll be Tony Kanaan, who is, very beloved racer. He's a U.S. citizen, formerly he's from Brazil, but he's a U.S. citizen, loves his U.S. citizenship, is proud to talk about what it means to be an American, what it means to drive in on behalf of veterans and on behalf of veterans who are struggling. And that's the interview pieces that Henry Howard of our staff did in the June issue are all about what it means to Tony Kanaan, Alex Pillow, and Jimmy Johnson to be driving in support of veterans who are having difficulties. And they're very proud of that. And they feel yeah. an extra push of inspiration for that. So,
well, that's an institution, the Indy 500. So we'll look forward to seeing that on the Sunday before Memorial Day, which that'll be May 29th then.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Jeff Stouffer on our live line on behalf of the American Legion. We've got more to talk about later in the show. Rich Fiesta will be joining us. He's going to talk about the possibility of Social Security and Medicare being sunsetted every 5 years. Scary thought, but you never know what can happen in Congress. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
American workers are the best in the world, but we face an uphill battle against countries like China that don't play by the rules. There's a bill right now in Congress that would give American workers the trade tools we need to fight back and win. Join me in telling Congress to pass this bill. Visit AmericanManufacturing.org to learn how.
Paid for by the Alliance for American Manufacturing.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And don't forget, when you get an opportunity, just sign up and you can receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. 5 stars, always appreciated. Let's go back to our live line. Jeff Stouffer joining us from Indianapolis on behalf of the American Legion, legion.org. And you're going to Normandy again for D-Day ceremonies, is that right?
That's right. We're going to be we'll do all of the ceremonies for the anniversary. I believe it's the 78th, maybe. I can't remember because we had a couple of years there I didn't go because of COVID in 2020 and 2021. But I think this is 78th, and it'll be a big moment for us because we're going to be dedicating a statue to American Legion founder Theodore Roosevelt Jr., who died on after he stormed Utah Beach at age 56. He was the oldest officer, the oldest man who came ashore in the first wave, and he died 5 weeks later of a heart attack. And we have in the magazine some great messages, some of the last letters he wrote to his wife before he passed away. And we're going to be doing a statue to him, and he was a very, very inspirational figure in the founding of the American Legion.
Boy, this guy was not afraid of war, was he?
No, he believed in giving your life for your country. He wasn't like your typical president's son by and large. Those kids grew up to serve their country in the front line, and not in the rear.
No. He's amazing. You got to check this story. Those of you listening right now, if you have a subscription to American Legion magazine, if you're a member of the Legion, you'll get it anyway. Ringside Hell will be in the arena. Love that story. Great. Love that story. All right, I want to focus on the home loans here. And this is important for timing because rates are going up. I mean, inflation is up. I know refinancing homes is kind of dropped significantly because of what the Fed did in their last meeting. But in this case, you've got a program that's misunderstood. What's the problem here, Jeff?
Well, the situation, as we all know, is with the housing shortage and the rapidly changing valuations on homes. VA home loans, which is a big benefit to people who serve in the military, huge recruitment, benefit to get people to join in the military, and then it's a big benefit to them after they come home from service. But what's happened is the selling market, the sellers are getting more and more reticent about accepting offers from VA financed and FHA financed loans or buyers because of the appraisal restrictions and the inspections that are not as agile maybe as conventional loans. So when you have like six people lined up to buy a house and they're bidding on it and they're offering prices that are above what the seller is asking for, VA is kind of, restricted to stick with its appraised value. And what we're trying to do, and it's a pretty big schism. We have some quotes from the National Association of Realtors and some statistics that they've gotten out of a survey they did in 2021. So 89% of sellers who say they are likely to accept an offer from a buyer using a conventional home loan financing, compared to 30%. Sellers who say they are likely to accept an offer from a buyer using VA or FHA financing. So obviously this gap is getting wider. And the other statistic is that by and large, VA appraisals are coming in under the actual seller's price in many cases, or the actual sales price. So the VA, and they'll find different in their inspections, they'll look for different things. They have their different criteria for to qualify a house. And at the end of the day, what we're arguing is that there needs to be a little bit more wiggle room, asking the American Legion is pushing for a 5% over sales price appraisal, to make those appraisals a little bit more realistic. And then the timing and the scheduling and all of that, by the time you get done with all of those details, the house is gone.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It hurts veterans who don't have, who are getting that GI Bill. That's where it came from. The VA home loan came from the GI Bill. They're getting this benefit and they can get a house with zero down and have government backing, VA backing, and they can become a homeowner through this benefit, but that house is not available to them by the time they use the benefit. because of this housing market.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be, and I've been hearing that, you know, this housing market valuations, as we know, are going up in most parts of the country, even with the increased interest rate. But the housing shortage is real, and it's having a big effect on VA home loans.
Yeah, and it's going to be with us for quite some time. It's really sad. And Jeff, when you say housing shortage, I want to elaborate on that. Affordable housing. There is a shortage of that in the country today, and they got to rein that in. I don't know how they're going to do this, what they're going to do, but housing prices have really gotten out of control, and so much of the population is not going to be able to take part in owning a home, which is the American dream. I mean, that's what you want.
Right. It does so much for you economically, not just for a family, but for our nation. You know, the ability to own a home and own your own property is kind of almost uniquely American in the way that we do it. And it's a big part of our economy. And if you take that away, then you've got, you know, some problems. I think the issue here is that a lot of, you know, we know that home valuations are, you know, ridiculously high in big urban places like Los Angeles and San Francisco, Washington, D.C., New York. But what's happening is this is going to the places like Boise and Salt Lake City and it's decentralized. It's all Indianapolis, all over the country. Housing prices are going up. And people just, they can't afford it, or they can't get the financing for it, and the sellers, of course, are going to try to get their top dollar for it.
Yeah,
and it's a conundrum, and home ownership. To your point, affordable home ownership. I don't know where it's going to come from, but that has been a province of the American economy for a very long time, probably since the Depression, since before the Depression.
Sure.
So.
There's a website here I want to give out to our listeners, and this is contained in the article, and it comes on behalf of the National Association of Realtors and the VA. They cooperated on this. NAR.realtor/veterans-affairs. And there's a two-part video series to address what we're talking about here, the misconceptions with the VA loans. NAR.realtor/veterans-affairs. Now, if you are a member of the Legion, this is on page 24 in the June edition. All right, one more story here. Taiwan. Now, hopefully, we're not going to get engaged in a conflict with China on Taiwan like what's going on with Ukraine. Alan Dowd, who's so much on top of these issues, is looking at this as this century's West Berlin. To keep Beijing away, the United States needs to be clear about its commitment to Taiwan. Jeff, I'm going to let you pick it up from there. What are we looking at here?
Well, you know, Ed, this is all, you know, done in the backdrop of what's happened in Ukraine and Russia, between Ukraine and Russia. And that's that as the, you know, the Russians, you know, gradually devastate Ukraine and, you know, attempt this quote unquote unification or reunification program of, you know, to try to make it part of, you know, their dominion again. Very similar rhetoric coming out of Beijing on Taiwan, you know, which has really never been a part of China, but is now is being considered, you know, the by all necessary means we need to reunify. This is the Chinese leadership, reunify Taiwan with, you know, the motherland. And again, this is not just sword rattling or saber rattling. This is big, lots of military action by the Chinese. You know, on a single day this year, Beijing deployed 39 fighter and bomber aircraft into Taiwan's airspace. They have, you know, all of these, they have these exercises and activities that are going on all around Taiwan. It's like Putin staging at the border of Ukraine for a few months prior to the invasion in February. This is, they're almost following the script that Russia has used. And, you know, it would be, you know, I think we talk about economic impact. You know, I think a third of global shipping comes through that Taiwan ports and stuff. And the issue that Alan brings up is the United States has a very important responsibility to protect, a democracy in the shadow of a big, you know, socialist, you know, regime. And that was, and his comparison is West Berlin, because West Berlin was this island of democracy surrounded by, you know, a communist bloc. Mm-hmm. And the United States had a responsibility to protect it and to defend it. And his position is that, and Alan's position, and this is a commentary, and it does follow one of our principles, is to protect, you know, freedom-loving people and free markets globally. And this is what Kennedy called, John F. Kennedy called West Berlin a quote unquote defended island of freedom. And then Alan makes the point it remained free only because it was defended, and it was defended by the Western allies in the United States. So our we need a clear, what Alan is arguing, we need a clear commitment to Taiwan's security and to prevent a Ukraine from happening at that part of the world. You know, it's just it is terrifying to think that another such invasion could occur. But China's doing everything to warn the world, just as Putin did, that
yep.
This is on their radar, and this is part of their blueprint.
Well, Alan Dowd has a history of being on top of issues, and he does a great job, like many of the writers, including yourself, Mr. Stouffer. Great job, what you do over there at the American Legion. Legion.org for complete updates. Well, you take care. Stay safe. Enjoy that jaunt to Normandy, France, in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure we'll talk about it next time you're on the show, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
You got it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Rich Fiesta on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Ironworkers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 ironworkers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union ironworkers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our ironworkers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to Washington, D.C. right now. Joining us on line number two, Mr. Rich Fiesta, who has been a guest on the show for many, many years on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans, a growing organization. And that's pretty obvious because there's a lot of retirees out there. RetiredAmericans.org if you want to get involved. Hey, Rich, how we doing today, brother?
Fine, Flash, and as always, great to be back with you.
Let's focus on Senator Rick Scott. And, you know, I can't figure this out. I mean, doesn't Florida have a lot of elderly people that are relying on Social Security and Medicare? Isn't that the case, right?
Yes.
Florida's okay.
The largest seniors population, largest in percentage. It's the only state with over 30% of its registered voters are over the age of 65, for example. So you gotta wonder what their former governor, now senator, whose company was indicted for Medicare fraud at one point.
That's right.
Is doing, proposing an 11-point plan that really takes aim at seniors.
Yeah, this is called sunsetting, and what he wants to do, this is his proposal, and he wants everybody to pay taxes. Right now, if you are at a certain income level, you don't pay taxes, and that's been in place for a number of years, but he doesn't like that. He wants everybody to pay taxes, and in that same vein, he wants to sunset every 5 years Social Security and Medicare. Okay, this was announced, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago. Mitch McConnell said, forget about it. But I have to ask you, does it have any legs? What are you hearing?
Well, Rick Scott, and the scary thing about this is Rick Scott is the chairman of the committee that goes out to recruit new Republican candidates to run for the U.S. Senate. So he's sort of the ringmaster of finding people to come and serve in the Senate or run for the Senate. And now he has this 11-point plan. He has a huge website up on it where he goes through it, and it's called Rescue America, how ironic is that, .com, and asks you to contribute money to him, too. So it's nothing that we can say is in abeyance or is on the wane. It's he talks about it a lot. And he's the guy in charge of finding more people to run for Congress, especially the Senate, as Republicans.
So if he recruits people, they have to think like him. And that's what he's trying to do, get them elected and hopefully for him to pass this plan that would sunset Social Security and Medicare. Amazing. So Rescue America, that's the name of the website that he has right
yes.
now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Proceed
what's
with
he,
caution. Yes.
What's he trying to rescue us from?
Well, that's a good point. It's just 11 points filled with a lot of craziness. For example, it violates First Amendment religious rights, for example. I was reading it earlier today. It just is just a lot of nonsense over the last 20 or 30 years. It's all kind of been put into, you know, 11 points in one plan, for example.
And Rich, didn't Biden talk about this the other day? He's pretty critical of what Senator Scott has come up with.
Yes, President Biden pointed out that this would end Medicare and Social Security's guarantees, that Congress every 5 years would have to renew the program. Well, you can't run a program, especially as large as those two, not knowing whether or not it's going to be there 5 years from now.
Right.
You know, it's fiscally insane and politically insane.
Let me ask you this. You and I have talked about the scrapping the cap on Social Security. Is any of that moving forward, to your knowledge? Because that would definitely beef up the coffers.
Yes, absolutely. We're hopeful that Congressman John Larson from Connecticut has a bill, Social Security Act 2100. It has over 200 co-sponsors in the House, and it would raise the cap on the wealthiest Americans, would also increase benefits, put Social Security on a better fiscal and financial setting. So we're hopeful sometime this year we can get a vote in the Ways and Means Committee. That's the committee in the House of Representatives that oversees Social Security and Medicare, and see where members of Congress are, if they're for expanding and protecting Social Security or not.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea there. You know, speaking of that, go to retiredamericans.org when you get a chance, and you could check out the lawmaker's scorecard on issues like Social Security and Medicare. So we got midterm elections right around the corner. You definitely want to vote for an individual that's going to take care of you in retirement. And it's all posted there, retiredamericans.org. One more issue here, May, which we're in the middle of, almost at the end, is Older Americans Month. And this was declared many, many years ago. And I guess the White House kind of renews that declaration every year. So with that being said, what's being done for older Americans this month, in the month of May?
Yeah, it's a great thing. President Kennedy first proclaimed May as Older Americans Month with the first White House conference on aging, and with the 1965 passage of the Older Americans Act, signed by President Johnson. That's the act that gives us Meals on Wheels, those community senior centers around the nation, all comes out of the Older Americans Act programs as well. And by law now, May is Older Americans Month. So there are themes every year to focus on seniors as well. Good news is the American Rescue Plan of 2021 had over $1 billion in senior-specific programs to help with nutrition, health promotion, caregiver support. People now, of course, if you need help, you'd much prefer to have someone come into your home to help you rather than trying to go to an institution, for example. 10,000 Americans turn 65 every day, so the importance of May as Older Americans Month to focus on older Americans and increasing help for older Americans. High priority, of course, for us at the Alliance for Retired Americans. And it's good to see the current administration in Congress. It's a high priority for them as well.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of people, myself included, did not know that $1.4 billion was provided to older adults in the American Rescue Plan. I mean, there's a lot of good things. I mean, Biden's popularity, as you well know, is down there. I think it's like 39%. He's getting beat up on so many things, on gas prices. He got the war in Ukraine that he's dealing with right now, which I think he's doing a great job. I mean, obviously, there's a conflict that needs our attention, and he's given just about every resource as possible to make sure that the Ukrainians succeed here. But when it comes to PR and touting these things, Rich, we don't do enough of that, do we?
No, and we really should. And that's why groups like us, the Alliance for Retired Americans and others, amplify with our members and seniors at large, because of, you know, the clutter in the media, clutter mm-hmm. online, for example. But, you know, when you see it on the ground, when you see it day to day, with people getting more care at home, people having vouchers, especially seniors, to go buy fruit and vegetables that they otherwise wouldn't have. That's real, where the real graininess, the real on the ground of the American Rescue Plan, for example, shows up.
You got it. RetiredAmericans.org, Mr. Rich Fiesta, Executive Director. You take care. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Thank you, Flash. Always great being with you.
That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO and the United Electrical, Radio, and Machine Workers. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.